Linda, for that testimony. What a powerful message and word testimony this morning from one who's gone through a lot this last year, but so awesome to see how God works in our hearts and in our lives and grows us and strengthens us in our faith. And one of the hardest things for us to realize, it's through the tough times that God does the greatest works in our lives when we look to Him and when we trust in Him. So we're thankful for that great testimony this morning. Today is Senior Adult Day. It's a day that we set aside each year, and we kind of just recognize and honor those senior adults, members in our congregation, showing our love and appreciation for them and for their life of faith and their life of service. It's also a day to remind them that their lives still make a difference, that their faith and their love of the Lord Jesus Christ is still impacting our lives. We want to affirm that they are beloved by we, the people of the church, and by God, their love and their faith for Him. And this morning, I want us to kind of look over into the book of Daniel together. Instead of going on into the book of Romans, I want us to look at the life and testimony of this man by the name of Daniel. You see, in Daniel chapter 10, verse 11, the first part of the verse says this, "And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved." This was the testimony by an angelic messenger to Daniel in the latter years of his life, 80 to 90 years of age, and heaven's testimony of Daniel was that thou art a man greatly beloved. I don't know about you, but I would desire for that to be heaven's testimony of my life. I would desire for that to be the testimony of all of our lives as we seek to learn and to grow together and to serve the Lord Jesus together. And so this morning, that's what I want us to think on, this Senior Adult Sunday, thinking about a life that has this testimony from heaven, a life of a man or a woman that is greatly beloved of God. So let's go to the Lord in prayer together this morning. Heavenly Father, again, we just want to thank You for this day and this time set aside to worship You. Lord, we've already been blessed here this morning through our Bible study hour, time of studying Your Word, learning and growing together. Lord, through a time of worship and praise and lifting our voices, making a joyful noise unto the Lord, to the God of our salvation, and Lord, just sensing Your presence here today. Lord, for a time of prayer where we can lift to You our petitions and our intercessions, and we can rejoice and thank You and being a God who hears and answers our prayers. And Lord, with a time of a testimony to the great work and miracles of grace that You have done, not just physically but spiritually in the life of our sister this past year, and for what a blessing and encouragement that has been to each of us as we have witnessed that occurring in her life. Now, Father, we thank You for the privilege that we have to look to Your Word this morning. And as we look into the record of the life of a man by the name of Daniel with heaven's testimony that he was beloved of God and beloved of his fellow men that he ministered to and that he served and that he witnessed to, Father, we think of so many in our church family that have that testimony in our lives. They're beloved of us and beloved of You. And God, we desire to follow their faith and to heed their example and to live our lives in such a way that when we reach the end of life, that would be heaven's testimony of our lives as well. And so, Father, I just pray that in these next few moments as we look to the life of Daniel, that God, You just open our hearts and our eyes to the simple truths that are recorded about his life that literally can change our lives and the influence and impact of our life and our faith in the days and times in which we live. Father, help us not to waste our life, but to invest it and to use it, Lord, for your glory and to lift you up in all that we say and do. Father's the messenger. I never want to stand before your people without asking you to hide me behind the cross and fill me with your Spirit, free me to preach your word, because, Lord, it's your word, it's your truth that transforms our hearts, our homes, and our eternities. And Father, we just want to thank you right now and give you the glory for all that you accomplish and all that you do. We ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, this morning as we honor our senior adults, I'm sure that each of you probably have those in your mind, in your heart, that have had an impact and an influence in your life. Their life of faith, their love of God was something that encouraged you and strengthened you. I look back over the years of ministry here and I think of many that have already gone on to be with the Lord, and yet I think back over their lives. And, you know, if I was to start listing names, I'd miss someone, and I don't want to do that. But also, as I look out today, I look out on a congregation of folks and many seniors who truly, your faithfulness to the Lord, your love of the Lord Jesus, your prayers and encouragement to me and to my family have been such a blessing in my life. And what a testimony it is to others. I appreciate Miss Linda. I pick on her because I love her and I know she lets me get away with it for some reason. But you know, we were talking last week after the service. Julie and I was talking with Tom and Willie Mae, and Willie Mae said this, and I know you've heard her say it, and she's gonna probably say it again. Growing old's not for sissies. It gets tough. There's a lot of things that you go through the older you get in life. And what an encouragement, what a blessing to see people when they face the difficulties, the troubles, the discouragements in life, that they face them with this faith in the Lord and this love of the Lord Jesus and trusting in Him and His grace. What a blessing that is. What an encouragement it is to us for whatever we're going to face or whatever we may be facing right now. But you know, this is not just a day to honor them. I believe it's a day that we want to heed their example. I trust that you would desire to be a person of faith, that when you reach the end of your life, it would be said of you, he's beloved of God, or she was beloved of God. He was beloved of the church and the people of God. I want that to be the testimony of my life, and I trust that you would desire for that to be the testimony of your life as well. That's why this morning I want us to go back and look into the book of Daniel and just some verses here and there that kind of give us some insight to his life. I've been preaching through Daniel on Sunday night, and it's been wonderful to study this book together again as a church family, and we're going to continue studying tonight and finish up chapter 9, Lord willing, tonight in our studying together. But the thing about the book of Daniel, it's filled with so many fascinating prophecies and revelations from God about the future, and helps us understand books like Revelation and the things that God has revealed to us to come. But you see, more than just the prophecies that we learn from our studying in Daniel is the lessons that we learn from what this book tells us about the life that he lived. Yes, it's good to look at those prophecies and see what God has showed us, but if we're not careful, we'll overlook the lessons that Daniel's life has to offer us. See, it's not just the prophecy that we need to look to in Daniel, it's the practical applications. We see not just a little bit of God's future plan for us in Daniel, but we see a lot of God's present will for us. We see how Daniel lived his life, beginning at an early age, a life of faith, a life of trust in the Lord Jesus, and how that life honored God, was used of God, and heaven's testimony in the latter years of his life was this: you are a man greatly beloved. And so this morning, we're just going to look back for a few moments together. I believe from what we've been studying on Sunday night and remembering some of the things about Daniel's life, I would say this morning, there's at least two reasons, or two things about Daniel's life that would cause heaven's testimony to be this: a man greatly beloved of the Lord. And I want us to think about him this morning. First of all, when you look at what God's Word reveals about Daniel's life, you can't help but see his life was a life lived in separation unto God. He lived a life separated unto God. Now the name Daniel, it literally means God is my judge. And when you look at the testimony of his life, he lived up to that name. You see, in every situation and circumstance that's recorded in his life, every way he responded, everything he said or done, he always lived in this awareness that God was watching, God was looking on, God was his judge. And therefore, he lived a life that was totally separated unto God. See, as a young Hebrew man, he had given his life to God. He had chosen the God of Israel as his God. He had been saved. He was a man who loved God and followed God. But he lived his life set apart for God, different from the world. He knew that everywhere he went and everything that he did and said, God was his judge. God was looking on. You know, I find it humorous sometimes. It's amazing. I can walk into restaurants. I can walk into places and immediately people change what they're doing and they change the way they're talking and they change the way they're acting. Oh, they just, all kinds of things start flying towards the trash cans and other things. But, oh, the preacher's here and the preacher sees us. But you know what, folks? I want to tell you the key to a transformed life. It's realizing there's somebody watching you 24/7 every day, and it's not the preacher.
Amen.
It is the God of heaven.
Amen.
And when you live your life in that awareness, it'll make a difference in how you live your life. See, when you look back in the book of Daniel, there's some things about his life that stand out. He was a man of purity. It tells us there in the very beginning of the book in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, as a young man, having purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Here's Daniel. He was taken into captivity, but he's not going to defile himself. He's not going to eat the king's meat. He's not going to drink the king's wine. He's not going to engage in those things that would dishonor his God and be disobedient to the commandments of his God. Now, you know, we've been talking in Romans about this freedom to eat meat or not, and how the new covenant, how it transforms our relationship. But you see, Daniel was living under the old covenant. And the way he honored his God and refused to follow idols was he observed the ceremonial laws. He observed the dietary laws. So it mattered whether or not he ate meat sacrificed to idol, because he's living under the old covenant. But the principle, the underlying principle of his life was this: what the old covenant was supposed to teach us and point us to is this simple truth: those who are of God will live lives different from the world.
Amen.
We'll live lives separated, lives of purity. We won't follow the crowd. We won't be conformed to the world. We'll have our lives transformed, our minds renewed by the power of God's Word and God's Spirit at work in our lives. And that's exactly what we see in Daniel's life. It began at an early age. He's a teenager when he found himself taken in captivity and in the king's court of a foreign empire and world leader, a king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. And he began at that point, and he lived throughout his life a life of purity. God was his God, and he lived his life separated unto God. No wonder heaven's testimony was, he's a man greatly beloved. But this morning, I want to share with you, it doesn't matter how old you are in life, the most important thing in life is that you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can, no matter where you are in life, no matter when it is, when you come to know Christ and you experience His grace, you can live this life of purity, a life that will be acknowledged by the God of heaven as a life that is beloved of God. It's good when you come earlier in life. The sooner, the better. But the most important thing is that you come. That you come to know Christ. He's not just a man of purity, but think about this. He was a man of prayer. That was one of the things that separated him from the world. He was a man of prayer. Miss Linda testified to the importance and the power of prayer. Look what it says there in Daniel 6, verse 10, what it tells us about it. He went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, and he prayed and he gave thanks before his God. See, this tells us this was his habit. This was something he did daily. He had a time. He had a place for prayer. He would go 3 times a day, morning, noon, and afternoon, and evening. He would go. He would open his window. He would pray towards Jerusalem. He had a place. He had a time for prayer. And you know what? That meant he lived his life in a spirit of prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. And that's the only way I believe you can ever live a life that is constantly in communion and fellowship with God. It's by having a time and a place where every day you spend time with God in prayer. Another thing that impresses me is about why he prayed. When he needed discernment, when he was standing before a king, and he had to give the interpretation of the dream, he had to even tell the king the dream he dreamed, he needed discernment, because if he didn't, the king was threatening to kill him. And what did he do? The first thing he did, he went to God in prayer. He got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he said, hey guys, I need you to join me in prayer. He prayed for discernment. When he received those visions, he would spend time in prayer, contemplating those visions. He would spend time praying over the Word of God. He was praying for discernment in his life. He prayed in times of danger, when he was facing danger. When the king said, anybody that prays is going to be thrown in the lion's den, guess what he did? He went to his window and he prayed 3 times a day, just like he always did. And I'm sure he prayed in the lion's den that night when he was cast in. But you know what? I believe he had one of the best quiet times he ever had in his life when he was thrown in that lion's den. I can see him right now laid up against the lion's mane, reading between the lions as he studied God's Word. And as the tail of the lion was swishing the mosquitoes away, he was just spending time praying and talking in fellowship with God. He prayed for discernment. He prayed in danger. He prayed when he was discouraged, when everybody was attacking him, when the wise men of the kingdom that he served with were trying to do away with him. He was still at that window praying. He was still calling out and crying out to God. The psalmist said, the Lord is my refuge and my strength. He didn't say my last refuge and my last strength. Folks, many resort to prayer as a last resort, but I want to tell you the key to being beloved of God is living in fellowship and communion with God and spending time in prayer with God. No matter what comes your way in life, whether it's a brain tumor, whether it's something else that crops up, an undesirable diagnosis, whether it's a physical problem, whether it's a family problem, no matter what goes on in our lives, a life separated unto God is going to be a life of prayer that gets into the presence of God, calls upon the name of God, and believes God. What a testimony. Many of our seniors today, over and over, they give testimony of how God has heard and God has answered their prayers and the difference that prayer makes in our lives. He was a man of prayer, but he was also a man of praise. He was constantly giving God the glory. Look at this verse. In chapter 2, verse 28, he's talking to King Nebuchadnezzar. And here's what he says. There's a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. See, when he came to Nebuchadnezzar with the interpretation of that dream, he wanted him to know first and foremost, I'm not the one with the answer, but there is a God in heaven who has the answer. He wanted to give God all the glory. Nebuchadnezzar wanted to pour all these gifts on Daniel for what he had done, but Daniel just kind of cast them aside over to his friends who had joined him in prayer, because to Daniel there was only one purpose in his life, that was to bring glory and honor unto God. It wasn't him. Later in life, in the latter days of his life and ministry, he's called before King Belshazzar to read the writing on the wall. The king promised to give him many gifts. He brushed every one of those gifts aside because what he wanted the king to understand was it wasn't him, it was God at work in him. It was God who had wrote on the wall and God who would give him the understanding of that writing on the wall. When he's thrown in the lion's den, and when the king shows up the next morning, hadn't had a wink's sleep, worried to death over whether Daniel's alive, Daniel says, it was my God who shut the mouths of the lions. See, everything about his life was lived in such a way, it never pointed to himself. He always pointed to God. There's the key to a life lived in separation unto God. A life of purity that's different from the world. A life of prayer that is constantly calling upon God and looking to God. And a life of praise that continually lifts up the Lord Jesus Christ in every area, in every circumstance, in every aspect of their lives. You see, that's what's so special about lives of those men and women of God and faith who have lived throughout the years of their life. And in the latter days, they've come to realize it's never been about them. It's always been about Him. It's never been for me, but it's always been about Him and His work and His grace in our lives. See, that's a life lived in separation unto God. And when you live that kind of life, I guarantee you there'll be a testimony in heaven. There is a man or a woman greatly beloved of God. But there's a second thing that we see here about the life of Daniel. He didn't just live his life in separation unto God, but listen, he lived his life in service to God. He lived a life of service unto God. Look what it said in chapter 1, verse 21. Before you even get into the book, in chapter 1, he's still a teenager, but before you get to the end of the book, it tells us in verse 21 that he's going to live his entire life in service to God. It says in verse 21, and Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. He lived a life of service. He had a heart of service. He was taken in captivity as a teenage young man from Israel, from the promised land, from Jerusalem, from the place of worship in the temple. And yet he never complained. He was taken away in captivity. He was taken away from all that was near and dear to him and his faith and his worship of God. And yet he knew God had a special plan for his life. He never campaigned for promotion. You read throughout the book of Daniel, he just simply let God open doors where God would open doors, and he was always willing to walk through those doors. He not only was used of God to serve and minister to King Nebuchadnezzar, the world leader of the empire of Babylon that God had used to judge Jerusalem and Israel and conquer them and take them into captivity. But he served through the 70 years that kingdom lasted on into the next world empire that judged Babylon. And he is found again in the palace of kings. He's found there serving God by serving in a place of great influence, having a great impact upon the things that was going on in the world. Here's a man who lived as a government employee. He was serving God as a government worker, but yet he never retired from that service. Even in the latter years of his life, Belshazzar called him in to get him to read the writing on the wall. He never retired from that secular ministry. You know why? Because he saw everything about his life as a sacred ministry. See, he wasn't just a government employee. He knew he was a man of God, a prophet of God. He was a bivocational minister. And he took every opportunity that God gave him to speak the truth of God's word and point kings and leaders of the world to the God of heaven. He did that throughout his life. From just a teenager to the latter days of his life. 80, 90 years of age. Folks, when you live your life separated unto God, you're going to live a life of service unto God. No matter where you find yourself, you don't have to be a preacher in a pulpit to make a difference and to be a witness and to be used of God. In fact, no matter where you're at in life, God has placed you there, and as a Christian, He's given you the good news of the gospel, and He's given you the opportunity and the potential to lift up Jesus. As you serve in your job, you can do it in a way that others are going to say something different about that guy. And then when they say that, then they're going to say, what's different about you? And then you can tell them, it's not what's different, it's who's different. Jesus has made a difference in my life. He has transformed my life. We never retire from that. You may retire from whatever job you made your living, but you never, never retire from being a minister for God. And I love that about Daniel's life. He served until God called him home. And God would desire for each and every one of us to serve and to minister and to make a difference. And I want to give you, I believe, two reasons why he lived a life of service unto God. In fact, if we do these same two things, I believe the result is we won't be able to help it. You'll just live a life of service unto God. Two things I see about him in this book. He always looked to God's sovereignty in his life. He always trusted in God's sovereignty. He believed in the sovereignty of God. Look in Daniel 4, verse 25. He tells the king, "The Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will." He's talking to the world leader of an empire. And he says, God is the one ruling. And he gives authority to rule to whoever he wills. See, he believed in the sovereignty of God. See, he believed God was sovereign in his life. So he never was intimidated, no matter what world leader he stood before, or no matter what law was signed that told him he couldn't worship God or he couldn't pray. He never was intimidated. He never was frustrated over his circumstances. He never was frustrated when his fellow wise men were out to get him. He never was frustrated when he got thrown into the lion's den. He was always looking to and trusting in the sovereignty of God in his life. See, he believed this. God was sovereign when he brought Babylon to Jerusalem and took him away in captivity. God was sovereign when he brought him and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the king's palace when he began that time of captivity. God was sovereign when Babylon changed his address. And God was sovereign when Nebuchadnezzar changed his name to Belshazzar and tried to give him the name of his false god. But you know what? God was sovereign over that. And God, he believed in the sovereignty of God. And therefore, Babylon never changed his faith in God. And Nebuchadnezzar never changed his relationship with God. In fact, Daniel was used of God to help Nebuchadnezzar confess to all the world, there's no God like the God of Daniel. He is the God who's sovereign over all things. And he lived his life in service unto God because God was sovereign. And he knew that. Just like Linda's testifying this morning, just like many of you would testify, no matter what you've gone through in life, one of the things that has been your strength, that has been your fortress, that has helped you, is to know this: God is sovereign. And when physical problems come, He's sovereign. And He can do things with us in those times He couldn't do with us in the good times. Right. Linda gave a testimony of that. God didn't get those cigarettes away from her until He brought her to that place. Amen. Last year. God does the greatest works in our life of deliverance in the physical problem, family problems, financial problems, national problems. When things in life look like they're falling apart, when you believe in a sovereign God, you know this, you simply look to Him and you trust Him as your heavenly Father, knowing this, Romans 8:28. He works all things together for our good and for His glory. Praise God. May He look to the sovereign God. But here's the second thing. Another reason He lived His life in service unto God. He looked to the Scriptures. He looked to God's Word. All throughout His life. In Daniel chapter 9, we looked at it last week in verse 2. Listen to what He says. In the first year of His reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. You know what Daniel's testifying there in chapter 9? He studied the word of God, as Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Daniel says, I was studying the books. I was studying the Old Testament scriptures. And especially Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah and the prophecies. And I come to understand this, that the captivity was only going to last 70 years. That's what God had told Jeremiah. And see, what I believe was so exciting to Daniel was this. It had been 67 years. He knew this thing's coming to an end. But you know why he knew that? Because he loved the Scriptures. Because he looked to the Scriptures. Because he looked to God's Word and he believed in the sovereignty of God. And he prayed. He prayed and he claimed the promises of God. You can say this morning, oh, Pastor, what's more important in my spiritual life? The Word of God or prayer? I don't know. When you fly in an airplane, which wing you think's most important? That's what Daniel would say. Man, you take time to study the Word of God and then you spend time with the God of the Word in prayer, and guess what? It'll give you wisdom. It'll give you comfort. It'll give you strength. It'll give you direction for your life. No matter what you're going through. No matter what you're experiencing in your life. See, in Daniel chapter 10, we'll get there eventually. In our study of Daniel together, God pulled back the veil and allowed Daniel to see into the spiritual realm of what was going on when he prayed, and how the devil and the demons of hell were seeking to thwart the things of God, and how the angels of God were responding to God and the answer to the prayers of God's people. And Daniel prayed for 3 weeks and the victory came and the battle was won in the spiritual realm because God gave him insight through the Word of God and in prayer to understand. He realized and recognized there's a real devil. There's literal demons of hell, and they're wreaking havoc with the lives of people. They're wreaking havoc with the lives of people in this community. The devil's real, and he will ruin lives, but guess what? He will run when a man or a woman of God take up the Word of God and call upon the God of the Word in prayer. There's victory over the devil and the demons of hell. God gave him insight into the physical realm. He had no illusions about the future or the human heart. God showed him all kinds of visions. God showed him how and interpreted the dreams that King Nebuchadnezzar was having and that Belshazzar saw the writing on the wall. God showed him history. You see, history is just like a phone book apart from God's Word. It's just a list of characters with no plot. But when you know God and you know His Word and you look to the Scriptures and you're trusting in the sovereignty of God, you come to understand this. God created this world And God is moving everything towards this ultimate completion of salvation and redemption, where sin will be eradicated. And all along the way, nations and worlds and kingdoms of men rise. They're beastly in their character. Daniel saw the visions of beasts that represented world empires. The pride of man is vicious and cruel and does great atrocities to the world of men. But Daniel understood and knew all of that. You know why? Because he looked to the Scriptures. He also understood Israel was very central in what God was doing, because he began to understand the Messiah would come through Israel, and Messiah would be the one that would bring salvation. And though Israel would reject him, Israel would be restored to him. He understood all of that because he looked to the Scriptures. He saw the dream that Nebuchadnezzar saw, an idol of gold and silver and brass and clay, and he saw those metals, and he saw how each world empire would decrease in value and decrease in their ability to control and lead and rule the world. And yet he understood that while man thinks he's getting better, in this world we think we're getting smarter and we think we're getting better, and we have all these new medicines and we have all these new weapons and we have all this new technology and the internet and all of these gadgets that tie us together. We see all of that is an advancement. And yet a man who looks to the Word of God understands this. It is the sign of our downfall, our judgment that God will bring upon the world. See, a man who studies God's Word, the headlines will make sense to him today. When there's all this turmoil in Israel and the world, and all this turmoil in the Middle East, and all this talk of needing peace and a government and a new world order and a one world currency. See, those who look to the sovereignty of God and look to the Scriptures, all of that makes sense to them. Because that's exactly what God's Word has revealed this world is heading to. And the only thing that's going to make a difference is when Christ comes again and He establishes His kingdom on this planet. And here's Daniel. Here's a man who lived his life in the service of God because he trusted in the sovereignty of God, and he looked to the Scriptures and he called upon God in prayer. He lived a life of separation unto God. He was a man of purity, a man of prayer, a man of praise. And he lived his whole life in service to God from a young age, teenage years, to the 80, 90 years of life. Here's a man who lived his life in service unto God, trusting in the sovereignty of God as he looked to the Word of God, as he stood before kings and witnessed and testified about the God of heaven and about the truth of God's Word. He lived his life in service. No wonder Heaven's testimony was this: Daniel, thou art a man greatly beloved. See, that's the key to a life that ends with that kind of testimony. Thank God for those who we have witnessed in this church, who we continue to witness. We're encouraged to stay faithful and to stay at it, and to trust God no matter what comes our way, because we have those of our brothers and sisters in Christ who've been doing it and continue to do it no matter what comes their way in life. Living a life of separation unto God and living a life of service unto God. But folks, I want to close by reminding you this. That life of separation and that life of service to God, it can only begin with your life being transformed by the salvation of God. You know why many aren't living in separation unto God? You know why many aren't living a life of service unto God? They've never come to know God. They've never been changed by the power of the gospel. They've never recognized their sin. and recognize that Jesus took my place and died for my sin and took God's judgment for my sin. And in doing that, He rose from the grave and now provides me the opportunity of a new life, a life free from sin's penalty, a life free from sin's power, a life that will ultimately be free from the presence of sin forever. And when you experience that transformation, the message of the gospel that Paul said is the power of God unto salvation, when you experience that, there's no other result than a life that is totally transformed and turned around. Oh, you're not going to be perfect. You're not always going to say everything right and do everything right. But I know what the passion and desire of your heart will be, to live a life separate unto God and to give God glory. And so this morning, as we come to the end of this message, as we come to the invitation, we never want to gather and worship and look to God's Word without having an opportunity to respond to the gospel. Maybe someone here this morning desires to enter into a life and live a life like Daniel. Maybe you would desire this morning to have this testimony that you are beloved of God. I want you to know, you are beloved of God. God sent His Son to die on the cross for you. And when you come to saving faith and experience His grace in your life, you will experience that love of God in your life to such a way that it will flow through you and it will literally change your life and the lives of those around you. And so this morning, let me invite you to come to Jesus, to trust in Him. It's the key to a long, happy life, even in the midst of the darkest and the most trying hours. Jesus is the answer. He's the only answer. He's the one that makes the difference now and for all eternity. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, and we thank You for the scriptural testimony of men like Daniel, and God, for the living testimonies of many that we worship with each and every week. Lord, our heart's desire is to live that life separated in service unto You that would truly exalt You and glorify You for the God of grace and salvation that You are. And Lord, as always, we would pray this morning, if there's one here that's never trusted in You as Lord and Savior and experienced Your forgiveness and the transforming power of the gospel, Lord, may today be the day that they come to know You. They might have heaven's testimony, being beloved of God. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing this hymn of invitation. Won't you come this morning? God's speaking to your heart.